you take God's Word this evening and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. It's where we started the service this morning, and we want to pick up kind of where we started this morning, and we'll quickly just review where we were at, what we were talking about. And I'm sure this afternoon, as it was with my wife and I, we were talking about parenting. And so it's a good discussion to have. Let me say this, as you're discussing these messages and as you're discussing your parenting styles, and even if you come upon some parenting shortcomings, let's make sure that we are unified. And what I mean by that is, husbands, don't blame your wives, and wives, don't blame your husbands for parenting shortcomings. There is no benefit in these messages dividing your family. This ought to unify you and say, look, this is the past. And I'm thankful for the mercies of God because His mercy just covers the past. His mercy simply shows us that we don't have to live in the past. His mercy doesn't give us what we deserve for our past. His mercy has saved us from our past. And His mercy and grace is available to help us as parents. Right in the middle of the message this morning, I told my wife, right in the middle of the message this morning, God has convicted me about some shortcomings. And, you know, when it hit me, you know, you study it and you think about it and you say, you know, I got this message. And then you say the statement, let thine eyes observe my ways. And I studied that. I've been studying it for about 6 weeks now, and that's been my theme verse, and that's been my kind of my verse that all of my parenting messages have pivoted on. And as you see this morning, I've only got 9 pages of outlines and information, so we might be here a little while. But with all of that information, I was speaking this morning, and the Holy Spirit of God said, Your children are watching your ways. And that's a convicting statement. That is just a convicting verse. Because I want my children to give me their heart. But the Bible says the reason they give you their heart, here's why, so that then in turn they can observe your ways. And if you have their heart, you can guide and direct and help lead them in the proper direction. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 26. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. We talked about four different parenting styles that people have. I'm sure you could say that there are other parenting styles, that there are, we could break these down into more different parenting styles. But we would say there's at least four that we can find in Scripture. We could break down every parent we find in the Bible and probably find some different styles. But these four styles are what we mentioned this morning. So the first one we mentioned was being a neglectful parent. We find that in the Scriptures because the Bible says that the rod and reproof give wisdom. But then it says this, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Isn't it amazing that we get so busy in life that we're not fulfilling the very purpose in which God has us to be parents? God did not make you parents so that you could give your kids everything they want. God didn't make you parents so that you could get richer and grow your bank account for when they leave. The Bible says God has called us to be parents so that we are not neglectful to those children. So we said, this is a person or a parent who is low in love and low in control. It means that they don't have time to invest the time into that child. They don't have the time to capture the heart of that child. They don't have the passion to do it. And neither do they have the control over their child. And so they leave that child to themselves. And of course, we see so many examples, not only in Scripture, but around us every single day, of children that bring shame to their mothers and their fathers. We said not only is neglectful a parenting style, but number two, we said that the other style we noticed is there's parents who are permissive. There are parents who have a permissive style. This means that they're high in love. I mean, you do not doubt that they love their children. You do not doubt that they want the best for their children. But they're high in love, but low in control. They're permissive. They allow their children to lead them rather than leading their children. And some kids are doing a horrible job of raising their parents. I have a message that if the Lord will give me liberty, I want to preach to our children one day how to rear good parents. You know, sometimes we just get this idea that, well, you know, Johnny needs to be nurtured and he needs to know what we really mean is Johnny needs spoiled. What we really mean is I can't tell him no. What we really mean is we're going to excuse his behavior and her behavior. We're going to excuse it away to the point that we do not let the Word of God teach us how to parent. You say, well, my child is got a different personality, or my child's got a different background, or I'm a single parent, or my husband's never home, or my wife works a lot, or we have them in daycare, and we're going to contribute all these things. And you know what that is? It's just deflecting away from the real problem in our home. And the real problem is, the Bible shows us, with Eli as our example, that God says to Eli, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth." He knows about the iniquity. He knows that his children are out of control. He knows that the reputation of his children is horrible. He knows that his children are doing whatever they want. Here it is. Because his sons made themselves vile. They had a choice. They could overcome that permissiveness. But they made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. I'm not saying that your children will not disobey. If you're good parents, it doesn't matter how good a parent you are. Your children are going to test your boundaries. Your children are going to push against authority. Your children are going to try to get outside of your permission. But the Bible says the difference between Eli and somebody like Samuel is that Eli would not restrain his children. He permitted them to do things that made them vile, that ruined their testimony and their reputation with other people. His house was not ruled well, and therefore the house of God was falling apart. Matter of fact, at one point the Bible says that the light in the tabernacle went out. It had never gone out since the moment it was lit. But under Eli, in this permissive parenting and this permissive type of leadership, allowed the light of God to go out in the temple. The Bible says his children were never restrained. They were never told no. So he said this morning that there's a style of being a neglectful parent. There's a style of being a permissive parent. There's a style of being an authoritarian kind of parent. We would say that neglectful is low in love and low in control. And don't have the time, too busy. I wish these kids already would get out of the house. Low in love, low in control. We see that there's a parenting style of permissiveness that shows is shown up in the Scripture. And this is somebody who's high in love, but low in control. We see the authoritarian person is low in love, but they are high in control. And I know we've all met people who do not concern themselves with establishing a relationship with their children or a relationship with those that are under them in a leadership position. They do not establish that relationship. They simply enforce rule after rule after rule after rule. We would call that person authoritarian. This parent is somebody that is low in love and high in control. This kind of parent pushes their children to conform, never transform. This is a person who is never leading their child to maturity. They're just trying to get them to behave. I wish my child would behave. I know what I'll do. I'll make another rule. I know what I'll do. I'll make them go to bed earlier. I know what I'll do. I'll give them a demerit. I know what I'll do. I'll just tell them they can't go there. I'll just tell them they have to sit in the corner. And I'll make up rule after rule. My child will obey. We cannot be people that are low in love, for we must speak the truth in love. We must be parents who our children, when we have to discipline them, that when we are children, that when our children have to be disciplined, they have to be told the truth, they need the rod and reproof. When we do that, our child, without a shadow of any doubt, knows that it is coming from love in our heart. That you love them enough to restrain them. So we do not need more authoritarian parents. We do not need fathers who provoke their children to wrath, the Bible says. But we do need authoritative parents. Authoritative parents. Parents who the children have no doubt who is in control, but no doubt that they are loved by their parents. We need leaders that are people who are high in love, but high in control. Somebody who establishes the relationship that's able to enforce the rules because it comes from a moment and moments and time spent in love with that child. We need more authoritative parents who think about the big picture and will ultimately direct the heart of their child to the Lord. I want my child's heart, my son, my daughter, give me thine heart. Why? So that you can observe my ways. And as I follow Christ, follow me. As I set the right example of a faith that you can follow, may you follow me all the days. May you submit yourself. May you not only conform, but may God transform your heart to one that is not deceitful and wicked, but a heart that is pure and a heart that is righteous and a heart that desires to follow godly parents. Train up a child in the way they should go. You know, if you're going to train up the child in the way they should go, you're going to have to be authoritative. You're going to have to love them with an unconditional love. I tell my children all the time, Olivia, I love you. What's the next phrase I say, Olivia? If you're in trouble, I say, I love you. No. Oh my goodness. India, say it every single day of my life. I love you. No matter. Well, good. They got the last word. That's good. Let's have an invitation. I got work to do as a parent. I guess every day is not enough. Maybe it's twice a day, three times a day. I love you no matter what. You know why I want my children to know that? Because I want them to know that what they do for me or do with me does not make me love them more. And that what they do against me or against God doesn't make me love them less. Now, will it at times? Sure, I'm human. I'm going to think, I do not love this child right now. Matter of fact, I'm not sure I like them very much. Because we're all fleshly at times. But may the Holy Spirit of God cause us to be parents who love our children no matter what. When they fail, when they falter, when they sin, when they mess up very big, may we love them no matter what. High in love. But listen to me. High in control. Restrain your children. I think the greatest word that we can learn, and obviously being an authoritative parent, Your desire is that the Bible says not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. I mean, that's why we want our children's heart. So that one day they grow up and they walk out of our home and they're in college somewhere and they haven't conformed their whole life. They've been transformed by the renewing of their mind, that they may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we've continued to point them to God and we've continued to have them observe our ways and we've shown them the faith that they can follow and we strove together for the faith. And after all of that, we'd pray and we pray and we pray and we work and we labor as parents so they might do the will of God from the heart. There's no Christian more miserable than somebody trying to accomplish the will of God from their mind or their flesh. It is a fake. It is a hypocritical thing for us to try to do the will of God by any other way than from the heart and a heart of love for God. But we've got to parent that way. We've got a rate. You have 18, 19, 20 years with your child to mold and shape that heart to one that doesn't try to please you, but that tries to please God, speaking the truth in love. I think one of the greatest ways as an authoritative parent is we're going to have to learn as a grandparent. I know grandparents think, well, I'm off the hook. My job's just to spoil. And I know we make jokes about that, but you're not going to find a whole lot of grandparents that God favorably looked upon that all they did was try to spoil their children. You're not going to find a parental example in the Bible when Isaac and Rebecca, when they favored Esau, Isaac favored Esau, Rebecca favored Jacob. God did not look kindly upon that. We're not to play favorites. We're not to favor our children one over the other. We're to love them with an unconditional love. And in their weaknesses, we will sometimes gravitate towards one over the other. And there's something we have to guard there at all times. But we have got to learn as parents to say no. I mean, there's just times where God says no. There's times where God has to tell us to stop. And there's times where leaders have to stand up and say, stand still to see the salvation of the Lord. There's times where the world would want our children to bow to the idols and bow to the wrong things. And at that moment, they need to be away from us. At that moment, they need to be able to stand. And having done all, to stand and say no. I don't know anybody that will be able to say no if they've never been told no. It's amazing. There's a generation of parents that have been raised now that are having children, and they, for some reason, do not know the word no. They don't know how to say to their child, no, we don't do that. No, we don't talk like that. No, we don't go to places like that. No, we don't act like that towards our sibling. No, we don't treat our friends that way. No, we don't watch that. We don't listen to that. We have to learn how to say no. The Bible shows us very clearly how to say no. And if a child will not bend, and if a child will not obey, the Bible gives us very clear instructions. Now listen, if you leave this message tonight and you do not follow these very clear instructions, then get ready for a long life with your children. A very, I would say, anxious life with your children. Maybe even a miserable life with your children. I don't want you to be miserable parents. I want you to love having children. I don't want you to think, well, I cannot wait till these kids get out of the house. I want you to say, it'll break my heart the day I have to say goodbye to my children and they go off under somebody else's roof. They leave me and cleave to somebody else. My heart will break. I want you to have fond memories of parenting. I want you to be able to have joy for parenting. I want you to say, I had a wonderful heritage in my house, and it was my children. The inheritance that God gave me by giving me children was one of the greatest blessings of my life. If you're not there, then you need to listen to me tonight. Because one of the greatest things that brings joy into your home is learning how to say no. And when the word no is not obeyed, there is a way to gather that child's heart, to get that child's heart. It is not easy in the moment, but in the end, there is a huge blessing from learning this word no, from restraining your children from their vile affections, restraining your children from bad behavior, restraining your children from doing things that will hurt them in the long run, and hurt the name of Christ, and hurt your family name. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Learn the word no. May I give you some advice tonight? Number one, as soon as your children are able to exercise their own will, say no when they need it. Say no when they need it. Learn the word no. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, let's look over at Proverbs 29. We looked at it for just a moment this morning, but I want to focus on a different verse, part of the verse tonight. We said this morning, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So we are parents who are not going to leave our children to themselves. We are not going to neglect our responsibility. We're not going to be permissive in our responsibility. We're not going to let them do whatever they want to do. We are on the front lines. We are fighting this battle. We are going to get our families under control. We're going to get our homes to be a joyous place to live. How do we get there? Here it is. The Bible says in Proverbs 29 and verse number 15, the rod and reproof give what? Wisdom. Well, I'll hurt their feelings. No, you'll give them wisdom. Well, they'll hate me. No, they'll get wisdom. Well, they'll think I've abused them their whole life. No, I'm talking about high in love, high in control parents. Parents who take the authority that God has placed upon them. By the way, that is your responsibility. You don't have to struggle for that responsibility. You don't have to try to find it somewhere in the Bible. It's right there. God says the responsibility of a parent is to love their children and to control their children. So we see the Bible says, here's how you get control in your home. You ready for it? You say, my home is out of control. My life is out of control. My ministry is out of control. You have 19 kids in beginner church. Y'all better learn how to be high in love and high in control. They had 40 kids in junior church this morning. Somebody better learn high in love and high in control, or we will not have a junior church program. We will have a terror attack in here. They will call in the FBI and they will arrest somebody because there will be terrorism going on. Somebody's going to get tied up with duct tape and beat silly. And it's going to be an adult. You get 40 kids that want to go one direction and an adult says, no, you better figure something out quick. You're about to have a riot on your hands. You can tell a child anything you want to tell them within the bounds of the Bible if you do it in love. You got to learn the word no. The moment that they're able to exercise their own will, that means that 7-month-old baby, that 8-month-old baby, that 10-month-old baby, that you say, you put them down and they go, no. They're exercising their will. Somebody's going to win. At 8 months old, at 9 months old, somebody's going to, oh, that's too young, preacher. I couldn't hurt my little baby. You don't have to hurt them. You just need the rod and reproof. What's the rod? The rod is the physical part of correction. And may I just suggest to you that you never use you as the rod? Don't backhand somebody. Don't smack somebody with your hand. I'm not going to tell any personal examples. The Bible doesn't say rear back with your hand and punch your kid. Doesn't say to backhand your kid. Doesn't say in a moment of anger, kick them. It doesn't say that you use your hand to swat. Oh, I got their attention. I swat them right on the behind. No, it's not what the Bible says. It says the rod. There is a physical punishment a child needs so that they are restrained. I had a parent tell me one time, if I listen to you, preacher, I'll be spanking my child every 10 seconds. And I said to them, it'll be every 10 seconds, but it won't be for long. When somebody figures out that every 10 seconds, the rod of correction is beating my behind. The Bible says the blueness of wounds from the rod driveth the rebellion far from them. So if you say, well, I tried that once and they bowed up on me. They stiff-necked up on me. They yelled at me. They grunted at me. Good. Try it again. Right when that wound turns blue, it'll be about time for them to give up their will. I'm telling you, friend, if you want to be a successful parent, you better pull the reins when they need to be pulled. The rod, and here it is, and reproof. You cannot separate the two. You do not become angry and become Arnold Schwarzenegger on your kid. I didn't call you to go ballistic. Some people are like, who's Arnold Schwarzenegger? It's my back in my day. I think he's still around doing movies and stuff, man. This dude's like 75. He still looks stronger than me. The rod and reproof. It is no comma. There's no semicolon. There's no continuation of the sentence. It is the very same thought. The rod and reproof. Give wisdom. So when it's time to punish, I'm just giving you some helpful advice or things I think are helpful to me as a parent and things I've learned along the way. And I'm by no means an expert. I have a child that's 13, a child that is 10, and a child that is 7. So I am not an expert, but I can tell you from the Scriptures that the rod and reproof must go together. You know why you're having a hard time with your kiddos? Here's maybe a clue. You do reproof without the rod, and you do the rod without reproof. If you do the rod without reproof, all you're doing is trying to box them in as an authoritarian. If all you do is reprove but no rod, then what you've done has been permissive. The authority comes when you are at the point where there is a punishment needed. You said no, and their will is still their will. You have not broken their will. You don't have their heart. You don't have their mind. You don't have their emotions. You do not have the will that makes decisions. You do not have control of it. They do. Somebody's going to win. Either they're going to keep their will, or you're going to get their heart. How do you get their heart? The Bible says if you want their wisdom, if you want them to get it, if you want them to have understanding why we listen to our parents, then you've got to put these two together, the rod and reproof. You must have the physical punishment with the correction of the mental, emotional, and spiritual parts of their life. I tell people, if you have to go to this verse, if this becomes where you have to put it in place, it should not be every 10 seconds. It should not be every day. If it's every day for you, and you've been doing that for a long time, you do not have your child's heart. You have not broken their will. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Now listen, I know there's some troubled children. I know there's some children that have some issues. But you got to keep doing it. The moment that they have a will of their own, say no. If they do not listen, say no calmly, firmly, and make the no mean now. I want you to come upstairs. Give me a minute. Nope. That is not the time frame that parents should have. Give me a minute. I'll be up there in 2 minutes. No. Now. A command from a parent, a rule from a parent, a verbalized command to a child, from a parent to a child, means now. Means now. That's just what it means. God didn't tell Jonah, rise up and go to Nineveh when you have a chance. When you feel like it. Jonah said no, and it was on. From the moment he went down into that ship, it got ugly for him. Because God was not interested in him taking a roundabout path back to God's will. God punished him when he said no to God. When your children say no, when your children defy you, when your children have a will and their will is not yours, their will is not God's, that you do not have their heart. They're not following your ways. They're not following your rules. They're not following your love. They're not following your faith. When they have their own will, you tell them no. Learn how to say no. Say it firmly. And make it mean now. Make it always mean now. Number three, this is the hard one. There is a time when the no stops. And the rod and reproof must take action. If all you do is say no all day long, you are high in love and low in control. If it warrants you saying no over and over, and it is not heeded as now, you must rise up and be the authority that God's made you. The parent who should train up their child in the way they should go. It's not their choice. Well, I want to go here. No, this is where we're going. This is what we're doing. There are times to use a lesser degree of punishment. God doesn't grab a 2x4 every time we kind of get sideways. It's not blow up time. I tell people, they say, how often do your children get spanked? I said, well, whenever they do, it's an event. It's an absolute earth-shaking event in our home. My daughters could probably count on two hands how many times they've been spanked in their lives. But they could count on two hands every time they've been punished. You know why? Because when it got to the place that their will was their own, and I no longer had their heart, they took that back, and they started to fulfill their own will. Now it's time for punishment, for rod and reproof. Olivia's loving the sermon tonight. But there are times to use lesser degrees of punishment. There's time for some, you don't have to nitpick. You don't have to nag on your children. Be like God. Be merciful. Be graceful. Be loving. Be kind. Be tender-hearted. Forgiving. Those are still principles of God's Word. You do not have to make an earth-shattering event. I'm telling you, in my daughter's 13 years of life, she's probably had 10 spankings. Now, she's not where she needs to be, and she's got a lot further to go. I'm just trying to help you to understand that it's an event when you get out the rod and reproof. There are verses involved. There are prayer times involved. There are serious measures taken and serious amounts of time taken for the rod and reproof. But you've got to capture your child's heart first. You've got to gather your child's heart. The goal is to get the child to yield their will, resulting in the desired change of their heart. Let me show you how you capture a child's heart. Number one, by consistency. By consistency. My son, give me thine heart, that thou mayest observe my ways. When you administer discipline, be consistent. If you got in trouble for it yesterday, then they should get in trouble for it today. If it was wrong yesterday, it is wrong today. If the rule was set yesterday and there was a punishment for that breaking of that rule, then it's got to be today. Inconsistency kills your authority. You go into a job. Well, the employees are allowed to do this. The employees cannot do this. So the employee gets in trouble. You got wrote up for that. The next time the employee doesn't get written up for that, you not only have a confused person on your hand, you're going to have a rebellious person on your hand. Parents with children, leaders with children, be consistent. If you're administering discipline, it's got to be the same. Because you're having a bad day doesn't give you permission to kill somebody. If it was rod and reproof yesterday and it was two spankings with the rod, because you're having a bad day, shouldn't make it six? Well, now you got on my bad side. Well, that's not consistent. If they didn't get in trouble last time, why are they getting in trouble this time? Be consistent. May I say, not only in ministering discipline, but in exemplifying the desired behavior. They're watching you. Are you consistent? Do you always talk right? Do you raise your voice? Why are you yelling at them for raising their voice? They hear you raise your voice all the time. Do you talk like you shouldn't talk? Why are you getting them in trouble for talking like they shouldn't talk? Be consistent. If you're a leader of employees, if you're a boss in a business, if you are a grandparent with grandchildren, I'm talking about all kinds of arenas, Sunday school teachers, pastors, you've got to be consistent. You've got to make sure that the consistency is always there. Number two, you win somebody's heart not only by consistency, but you'll win your child's heart by communication. You know that words are incredibly powerful. The Bible says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. The words of God are inspired. And they teach us the doctrine. They make us wise unto salvation. They correct us when we're wrong. They give us instruction in righteousness. That's how powerful words are. We don't have the thoughts of God. We've got the very words of God, and they're powerful. My friend, you have a powerful tool at your disposal with your children. It's called words. It is called communication. And I love it. For the nurturing of that child. That word nurture is that which promotes growth and education and instruction. That which brings your child to an understanding of what you're saying. Your words are for that. The Bible says we also have admonition, a gentle reproof. I'm not only telling them what they did wrong, I'm telling them what is right. I'm not only telling them what is right, I'm telling them how to do it right. I'm not only telling them how to do it right, I'm telling them how to stay right. That is nurturing and admonishing. Being consistent will win your child's heart. Being a good communicator, admonition, encouraging that child, exhorting that child, bringing them up in the way they should go. That is not done by yelling and slapping and kicking and slamming doors and getting upset and mom and dad arguing. And that is not how you're going to reach the heart of your child. We must watch. Our conversation must always be with grace. Our speech must be filled with grace, the Bible says. The way that we talk, what we talk about, how we say things should always be salted with grace. If you want to win your child's heart, be consistent. Number two, if you want to win your child's heart, learn to communicate. Number three, if you want to win their heart, use common sense. Sometimes we're just unreasonable, aren't we? Don't be unreasonable. You know, God is a just God. You know what just means? When you boil the word down and you just give a one-word definition, it means fair. The action fit the consequence. The action that was done had the proper consequence, the proper response. If a child did good, don't ignore that. Hey, Derek, how you doing, buddy? Don't look at him, you'll embarrass him. Don't look back there at Derek for dropping stuff. We would not want you to be embarrassed, Derek. You can look at that monitor all you want to, man. Use common sense. Is there a problem that they're just innocent? They don't know any better? I don't know if you've ever had this. If your child ever said a word and they didn't know what it meant? And you're like, where did you hear that word? I don't know. Well, obviously, we're not going to drop the grenade on them because they're innocent. They don't know. They're ignorant of that fact that that's wrong. Now it's time to teach, it's time to nurture, it's time to admonish, it's time to help them to understand. Or is the problem rebellion? See, you have to walk with God so you can discern these things. Be fair, use some common sense. Figure out if your child's having a bad day. I know you've never had a bad day. So, I mean, how could our children ever have a bad day? I mean, they got Lauren as a teacher. I mean, good night. There could be a bad day happening when they get home. Lauren gives them a demerit, and Lauren was having a bad day, and she yelled at them, and then she kicked their chair, and then she poured mustard on their head at lunchtime, and it's all things Lauren has done. I'm just telling you, folks, she's out of control sometimes. I tell our teachers, use common sense. If a child's having a bad day, we probably ought not to push them too hard. You don't like your buttons pushed on a bad day. Is your child tired? Is your child not getting enough sleep? Let's step back and say, okay, they're acting a little cranky. It might not be the fact that they're rebellious, ready to move out of the house and go get married to somebody outside of my room. Maybe they're 9 years old and just having some emotional problems. Use some common sense. Step back from the situation and ask God for some wisdom and justice and judgment and equity and be able to handle this situation the right way. Sometimes parenting is just good old common sense. Holy Spirit-led common sense. You want to gather the heart of your child? Be fair with them. I guard this all the time. People say, well, she's the youngest, she gets spoiled. No, she doesn't get spoiled. At least I don't want that to be the case. I want all of my children to be treated fairly. We ought to be working towards that. We ought to be people of consistency, people that learn how to communicate, people that have some common sense. Maybe it's just something that we need to teach or to train that child in. We just haven't done it yet. Back up, be fair, use common sense. Number four, if we want to reach the heart of our children, I think we should give them some courtesy. I think we ought to be courteous. Can I ask you a question, parents, grandparents? Do you listen? Do you ever let your children just talk to you? Do you ever just take a ride and let them say what's on their heart and then not smack them down for what they're feeling? Do your children feel more comfortable going to somebody else to talk than you? It could be the fact that the last time they were transparent and they revealed some feelings that they ought not to have, but they're having anyways, that the last time they did that, you were an ogre. That you were so rude and mean for them having natural affections. That the last time that they said they had feelings for this, or that they had some bitterness towards somebody, or they thought about this and they had a bad word there and they had a wrong thought. Well, how could you? What is wrong with you? No, be courteous. You want to capture the heart of your children, give them courtesy. You're in a relationship with them. It's not that I'm the parent, not your friend. I want to be a child's friend. I hate that phrase. Do you think that there's a time where God says, we are not friends? You are my child, but you need to keep your distance. I am your father, you are my child, and we're on business level here. Okay? No, I want my child to love me like a friend. If I can keep that balance, if I can keep that balance of being in control and loving them, if I can keep that balance, why wouldn't you want your child to be your friend? The definition of friendship is wrong in our minds. We think friendship means permissiveness. We think friendship means, well, I'm not their friend. That means they can just run over me. If they're your friend and they run over you, you're a permissive parent. But if you have the right authority, they understand where the line's at, you can have a friend that's 8 years old. You can have a friend that's 10 years old. Why wouldn't you want that relationship with your child? Be courteous. Be kind. Just some practical advice for you to reach the heart of your child. I'll say this. One of the things I found is you can win the heart of your children with comedy. When was the last time you just had a blast with your kids? When was the last time they saw you like nobody else saw you? And then you had to threaten them, if you tell anybody the way we are in our house, I will kill you. When was the last time that you just got down the floor and wrestled with them? When was the last time you just watched something funny on television and let everybody laugh? When was the last time you did something silly and rather than correcting them for laughing at you and not wanting to feel embarrassed, you just exposed yourself to them and said, you know what, I can laugh at myself. Some of you are scared to death of having a real relationship with your kids. They're your children. They're the blessing of God that God gave to you. And there ought to come a day where you can call them and they're under somebody else's roof and they're submitted to somebody else and they're somebody else's wife or husband. But you can call each other and laugh and have a good time and pray for each other and counsel with each other. And those days will come. I'm just concerned in our church that we as parents be consistent. Go on the march. Go on a war with your kid. You say, it might not be real pretty here for the next little while, but guess what? We're going to be consistent. With that consistency, you need to be a good communicator. Tell them what you expect. Tell them what the rules are. Tell them what they get in trouble for. Tell them what the reward is when they do well. Communicate. Talk to them. They need to know how you feel just like you need to know how God feels. You go to the Bible to figure out how God feels. Be that to your child. Be that authority that shows them and tells them of your love. Use some common sense. Be fair with your children. Just be fair with them. Be consistent and fair. Be courteous. Listen to them. I found out some of the most amazing things about my children over these years. That, you know what, I look back at my childhood and go, you know, I felt that way, but I was never able to tell somebody. I was never able to verbalize that. Or the only person I could verbalize that to was my youth pastor or my preacher. I want my children to feel that comfortable with me. Be courteous to them. Be kind. And let's just have some fun. Be a fun parent. High in love. High in control. Don't lose control. Don't be inconsistent. Don't stop communicating. Don't stop being courteous. But laugh a little bit. And may your parenting experience be one of the greatest things that you've ever experienced in life. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, I know your children, they seem like they're obeying, but I hear people in restaurants say this to me. I've had Christians say, wait till they become teenagers. I hope not. I hope that's not the case. I haven't experienced it yet. I have a preteen and now she's a teenager. I've got one entering the preteen era. But you know what? I don't think teenage years have to be a drawn-out misery. I think if we're consistent and courteous and we communicate, we have some fun together, I think we can have a wonderful parental experience. At least that's the way I feel when I think about God. It's not a misery to me to serve Him. I'm having a blast being His child. May our children feel the same way about parents who capture their heart. Let's capture their heart this week. Let's go on the offensive today and let's capture the heart of our child so that they may look upon our ways. Would you stand together before the prayer?